Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Okay, I'm going to give you a little bit of a twist today in our discussion. Of course, as you well know, there's been a lot of talk and attention given to Congress and the president and their ability to have a budget and to be able to work things out, reach across the aisle, as they say. So I've asked a national political expert, media analyst, and an author, Martha Zoller, to come on. Martha has her own radio program, and the website is MarthaZoller.com, and she is with us today. Welcome, Martha. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great, and it's good to be with you.
It's our pleasure. Thank you for catching up with us. I know that you had a little bit of a challenge to be able to make the call, and I really am glad you're with us because this is such an important issue. You know, a lot of people, and I will confess, including myself, didn't even realize that Congress got a pay raise.
Well, they actually are, it may not actually go into effect until April, and there's people moving to try to get it to go away. But here's what happened. Over the holidays, the president signed an executive order giving all federal employees from the vice president down a 0.5% pay raise. Well, that doesn't sound like much, right? It's only $1 billion a year. But the point is, they haven't passed the budget in 3.5 years. How do you know if it's in the budget or not when you haven't done that? And the fact it was done by executive order. And he did that, the president did that. So immediately, people like me and others reached out and said, you know, this is not right. The private sector hasn't had a raise in 5 years. There are a lot of people in small local governments and state governments where they actually have to pass a budget and balance their budget that aren't getting pay raises. So why are we giving the federal government a pay raise?
That's an excellent question. I mean, and I know you've seen this from a unique perspective. Martha she's graduated with a degree in journalism from the University of Georgia. She's been doing talk radio. Wow, you've been doing this a long time, since 1994. And you have been on, it looks like, just about anybody who's anybody on CNN, FNC, MSNBC, ABC World News Tonight, a whole bunch of different places you've been able to be a contributor. And I want to know the answer to that, because with your experience, we've got a challenge here. And if you can help us, that would be very helpful. How and why did they do this?
Well, look, the thing is, I think that since they're not passing a budget, they ought to have a pay cut, not a pay increase. I mean, and there is a movement in Congress right now with the deal that was just struck on the debt ceiling, that if they don't get a budget in place by law by April the 15th, that they're going to be holding pay in escrow. The Constitution does not allow you to withhold their pay altogether, because you can't ask someone to work and not pay them. But you can hold the pay in escrow and not give them the paycheck. So that's holding over their head right now. They're also trying to undo this executive order that the president put through, because, look, I don't care if you're a Democrat or Republican, you know that it's unpopular to give yourself a pay raise this way when most of your constituents are hurting or making less money. So it's not one of those things that people don't see the problem with it. It's just that the president's already done the executive order, which will make it go into effect on April 1st. There are several deadlines between now and then. There is the deadline we just passed with kicking the debt ceiling down the road to May. Then you've got next month in March, or actually February's tomorrow, but in March you've got the deadline on the sequestration cuts, which are the automatic across-the-board cuts. Then you've got the budget that has to be turned in by April 15th, or at least the framework for the budget. And then we've got the new debt ceiling deal that has to happen in May. So we're going to have one crisis after another. And I'm just saying, Lordy, just pass a budget where we do this once a year instead of this every month deal.
Well, I tell you, Martha, it's a mystery to me. It's pretty brazen to vote through or do an executive order to raise the pay for Congress when they can't even, you know what I call it? I call it they're playing chicken and they're using our car, because it scares everybody. It makes people make bad decisions with their finances, unfortunately. And I deal with that doing financial planning work. And it's like, look, you know, this is silly. So I guess the first question, let's see if we can understand this. Why do you think that the president did this?
You know, I think that he wanted to be able to give the executive branch, especially, increases, and the federal workers. And by doing it for the federal workers, he felt like by throwing Congress in there too, that maybe they would just take it. But thankfully, thankfully, they're not going to do that. And it looks like that this is not going to go all the way through, although it is an executive order. It is an executive order, and so you can't necessarily pass that or get rid of that just with legislation. So, and it was unnecessary. Executive orders are supposed to be for emergencies. This was not an emergency. These guys make $174,000 a year. They make $225,000 a year if they are the Speaker of the House or they're in leadership. So there are a lot of, they make plenty of money. When the median income in America is about $50,000 a year, they're making plenty of money. And it's not that I begrudge people. I love rich people. I'm not saying that. But the bottom line is, if not job, not get paid.
Well, I'll tell you what. It doesn't make any sense to me, and I'm sure it doesn't make sense to most people. We're going to talk more about this. We're going to take a short break. Be back with Martha Zoller. The website, MarthaZoller.com. You can go there and find out more about Martha, her own radio program, and how you can listen to that right on her website. We're going to take a short break. We'll be right back.
Many people invest without ever knowing what they pay in investment fees. When was the last time you dropped your car off for service and told them to fix whatever they want without getting an estimate first? I'll bet never. Why treat your portfolio any different? Holland Financial is ready to help. Call 888-747-PLAN to schedule your free consultation or visit us at davidholland.com.
And we're back with Martha Zoller. She's calling in and talking to us here about the reality of politics and this executive order to a pay raise for Congress and all the other federal workers. And I think you provided an estimate to us, Martha. This is $11 billion.
That's right. It's $1 billion a year, and it's roughly in total a little over $1 billion a year for 10 years. And so it's $11 billion. $11 billion over 10 years. And you mentioned you're a financial planner, and I'm sure you've seen this with your clients, and I know we're doing it in our business. My husband's a primary care physician, and I have a small business in addition to my radio job. And I got to tell you, we've been cutting our budget over the last number of years. We've been paying down debt over the last 5 years. We've also been sending our kids to college without taking out student loans, even though our college funds for our children were pretty much decimated in 2008.
Right.
I mean, they
right.
weren't gone, but we lost a lot of value. So we're paying a lot more out of pocket than we had planned for the last 20 years. But, that's just the cards we were dealt. But we made changes in our lifestyle. We looked at it. Yeah, I would have loved to have kept all the things I was doing and done all the things I was doing and just keep buying them and keep paying for them. If we did that, we would add to our debt. And my husband and I made a decision. I'm 53. He's 58. We made a decision. We're not adding any more to our debt. No matter what we're doing is reducing debt. That's what the federal government has to do. You and I do it. Your clients do it. State and local governments have to do it. Why can't the federal government do it?
Well, it's an excellent question. And, we have to make choices as individuals. And I deal this with the planning for people. The enormous difference, as you well know, Martha, is that the federal government has been issued itself a credit card with virtually an unlimited outstanding balance that they can continue to borrow against. And so imagine if we had that kind of credit card where there is no ultimate payoff. It's an unlimited line of credit, and you continue so you would still spend at whatever level you want. And that's the fundamental problem. And because they're not willing or unable to balance the budget or even have a budget that's not balanced, we're in that situation. And so for them, they don't even think twice. And I guess this came from the executive order, so this came from the president's standpoint. They don't even think twice about the fact that other people have to cut, but they're going to vote themselves in this pay increase that's going to cost and add to the debt, because it's not coming out of net revenues. It's coming out of a net loss for the federal government, if you look at it like a business. And it's going to just only add to the debt when we already have debt problems. Makes no sense to me at all.
Look, I understand that government is not exactly like a business. I mean, there are certain functions of government that have to go on, whether they have the money for them or not. Defense, the article, the things that are enumerated in the Constitution have to go on. But we've got to start setting priorities, and we've got to start expecting more from our elected officials. And hopefully what's going to happen is we're going to create a groundswell by you calling your congressman or your senator and to say, look, you cannot vote yourself a pay raise. if you allow this pay raise to go in place, we're gonna have a problem with you, and we're gonna run.
You're gonna be out.
You're gonna be out. And there has been some success of turning out some of these guys, and I think that's we just can't give up, because this is like the Titanic, and we haven't hit the iceberg yet. And we're going to start turning away from that iceberg, but it's going to take a while for us to do it. So you can't get tired if it doesn't work in a year or 6 months or 2 years. But we've got to start moving in the right direction. I mean, even Paul Ryan's budget, which I liked a lot, didn't start balancing the budget until like 2020. I mean, it really just slowed down the growth because he didn't, you know, people said it was a radical budget. Well, I'm sorry, that's not radical to say you're going to balance the budget in 7 years. I think that's pretty reasonable.
Yeah, radical would be if you said, look, starting in 2014, we're not going to borrow any money, and if we don't have the money to pay, we just won't pay it. That would be radical.
That would be radical. And in fact, all this talk about debt ceiling, you know, the federal government takes in enough money every month to pay the military, pay federal employees, to pay the things that are important to us, but there's a whole lot of other stuff in there.
Exactly, and that's the fundamental problem. I mean, there are countries around the world that would love to have our monthly budget, let alone have the whole year. I mean, in terms of the revenue coming in, it's say something like $200 billion a month.
Right.
I mean, it's crazy. So, wow. Well, Martha, we're going to take another quick break. Martha Zoller is our guest today, MarthaZoller.com. She's obviously very well tuned into all this and knows what's going on. So we're going to continue the discussion after this short break.
There are hundreds of annuities available in today's marketplace. How can you know if one is right for you? Certified financial planner David Holland answers this question and more in his educational booklet on annuities. To get your free copy, call Holland Financial at 888-747-PLAN. The annuity booklet provides a plain English explanation of the different types of annuities so you can decide if one is a good fit for your situation. Again, that number is 888-747-7526.
And we're back with Martha Zoller, MarthaZoller.com. She's got her own website there with a lot of good information, and her radio program, which she's been doing talk radio since 1994. That's amazing. Martha, do I dare ask what other executive orders the president has issued or signed lately?
Well, there were the 23 executive orders that had to do with gun legislation. Now, I will say in those cases, he actually just authorized a whole bunch of studies, but that's going to cost money. I mean, because the federal government doesn't know how to do anything on the cheap, all right? So that will cost money. The bigger thing, though, is the executive orders that he's using to implement cap and trade. That was something that did not pass in the Congress, so he's decided to do it by executive order, which is getting a lot of businesses under the EPA and doing a lot of things in that way. For me, that's the stuff that's going to get in the way of business the most, because as you know as well as I do, that these regulations that are getting in the way of business being able to invest in our country are what's keeping a lot of people. You know, someone said there's something like $3 or $4 trillion on the sidelines from businesses that they're not investing. And the reason why they're not investing is that they don't know what the rules are from day to day. And if business doesn't know what the rules are, they sit on the sidelines. And we don't want that to happen. We want to get that money back into the economy.
No question.
So, you know, I mean, that's what we got to do. The money's there to revitalize this economy, and it's not from the government. Okay.
Well, I'll tell you, as a small business owner myself, I can tell you what scares business owners is uncertainty. We already have enough uncertainty. You know, we have health insurance premiums that go up every year. We have all kinds of different things that we need to deal with. Just in the nature of business, we don't need additional uncertainty from the government where we are worried or concerned or we feel like we've got a target on our back. And I think the simplest way to get the economy, maybe not on all 8 cylinders, but at least on 3 or 4, is to give business clarity about the rules and then get out of the way and let us do our thing.
Amen. I mean, that is absolutely true. And you know, you saw the president's speech on immigration the other day, and he was talking as if business owners want to harm their employees. And I just don't see that. And we live in a part of the country, I live in Georgia, where we have a big problem with illegal immigration because we have a lot of agriculture here. And you know, we had some crops burning in the fields 2 summers ago, and literally We tried to get parolees down there. We tried to get people that would, welfare workers down there to work these crops. And one thing we found out was there is a skill involved in picking crops the right way, and they wouldn't work. The people wouldn't
right.
work. And I hate the idea there are jobs Americans won't do, but the Americans wouldn't do these jobs. and the crop just sat in the field and burned. And
that's horrible.
And we've got to figure out a way to let people work in this country, but at the same time, know who's coming and going.
That's exactly right.
And we got to stop putting businesses down and saying that everybody's like Simon Legree. That's not the case. What good does it do an employer to badly treat his employees? It doesn't do him any good to grow a business.
No, it's not going to work. I'm curious, Martha, what kind of recourse is there when a president issues an executive order? Is that it? Like, it's done? Or is there, does Congress try to put through legislation? The president's already issued the executive order. He's going to veto whatever they send him, or they petition the Supreme Court. What's the recourse?
You can withhold funding from departments that are involved in the executive order.
Okay.
You can also pass legislation that'll make a difference. The problem is, let's just call it what it is. We have a Democrat president in the White House right now. Republicans want a Republican president someday to be able to use executive orders their way.
That's right.
They don't want to limit the president's use of executive orders, but at the same time, executive orders were designed because in the initial days of the Congress, travel time and other issues came along where sometimes, if you can believe this, there were months on end where Congress wasn't in Washington. And so sometimes the president had to do executive orders in order to keep the trains running on time.
It's probably a misnomer. It's an emergency order issued by the executive branch.
That's right. Exactly right. And so, that's what happened. It's got to be where it's just if you can't get Congress to do what you want, you do an executive order. Now, because Barack Obama, in my view, the president has misused his use of executive orders. There are times where executive orders are appropriate to use, and we just need to get back to that. I'm a big believer in getting back to the Constitution and small and limited government. And it's going to take us a while to get here, and it's going to take us a while to get back.
Do you think, Martha, it'll ever, because a lot of people are pretty pessimistic or just have pretty much given up and said it's going to be what it's going to be. Is there a chance that it can be turned around where government doesn't continue to get bigger and more involved and more controlling and in everything and more centralization? Is there a chance we can turn it?
Yeah, there is a chance, and I think the chance comes from the strength of not only the American people, but the fact right now Republicans control 30 state houses and 33 legislatures, and a lot of things are happening. A lot of good things are happening in the states right now, and so that's where my hope is.
Okay. Martha, we're going to take another short break. Martha Zoller is our guest, national political expert, media analyst, and author. And please visit her website, MarthaZoller.com. Quick break. We'll be right back.
Sometimes I know what I want to say, but just can't find the words.
Last week, I shouted at my grandson, and I'm not sure why.
I saw my daughter, but couldn't remember her name.
The sooner you recognize the warning signs of Alzheimer's disease, the sooner you can do something about it. To learn more, go to alz.org/10signs. That's alz.org/10signs. A message from the Alzheimer's Association.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Martha Zoller's on our line with us and helping us understand this thing in Washington that affects all of us, the latest being a congressional pay raise along with all government workers of 0.5%, which is $11 billion over 10 years, and MarthaZoller.com is the website. Now, I was thinking on the break and coming back to, I wanted to ask you, Martha, do you think, I'm going to make a statement, you tell me if you agree with it or not. My thinking is why they don't want to do a budget. The reason they don't want to do a budget is because if they do a budget, they have to actually, everybody's going to be voting because of the way the spending is right now and all of the revenue. It's going to require, let's just call it for a round number, $1 trillion in debt to balance. In other words, they're going to have to borrow another trillion in debt just to cover this in excess of revenue, the spending. And none of them want to go on record for having voted for that budget. And so a lot of it is about their own political careers.
It is. And the frustrating thing is we voted this stimulus package in 2009, which was supposed to be a one-time spending of about $800 billion. It really was about $1 trillion. And it was supposed to be one time, but it got added into the budget and it's never come out. So because of the way we've been handling the budget, we really spent $4 trillion on stimulus. Because we bumped up the levels of spending, and because of the way we're doing it, it's never come down again. And I think you're right. I think people don't want to go on record voting for a budget like that, especially in the Senate, where they have a lot of Democrats up for re-election in 2 years.
Nobody wants to go on the record, so to speak. And they definitely don't want to go anywhere near Greta. So I think that the reality is that they just simply don't want to. They're going to piecemeal it, because if they piecemeal it, not so much goes underneath the radar screen because everybody's watching. And there's all these, you mentioned the March and the April and the May, all these various deadlines and things where they're all going to agree to bring us to the brink. And then at the last minute, they come out and say, oh, we figured it out and we agreed and everybody claims victory. And then we revisit this again in another, you know, 3, 6, 12 months, whatever it is.
Well, and also by doing continuing resolutions, you protect the spending levels at the level you spent at last year.
You're exactly
right.
And,
you know, so everybody wants to talk about going back to the Clinton era tax rates. Well, it's fine. We'll go back to the Clinton era tax rates. If we go back to the Clinton era spending,
that's pretty simple. That's right. That's exactly right. If you can't have one and have the other, I mean,
that's right.
And I think everybody would say, sure, let's do that. But it doesn't work that way. And you also know this, Martha, when they did this whole thing with, you know, where they said, okay, we're going to do this, we're going to come to agreement on the fiscal cliff, it really just was to remove the spending cuts at the time. And they got a lot of work to do. And I think we all need to remain active and monitor and let our representatives know. Martha, we're out of time. I know it went quick. Martha Zoller is our guest. She's weighing
in
and helping us understand this very important issue of the Congressional Budget Office, the pay raises for Congress and governmental workers. Please visit Martha's website, MarthaZoller.com. Martha, thank you very, very much for being on the program.
Thank you so much. It was a lot of fun.
All right. We'll do it again soon.
Thank you.
Want to learn more about Real Money with David Holland? Visit us at realmoneyradio.com, where you can listen live or to the archives. You can also email us your questions, comments, or show ideas to info@realmoneyradio.com. Be sure to like us on Facebook at Real Money with David Holland, and keep up with Scott Connor by following us on Twitter at Real Money Radio.
Remember, nobody cares more about your money than you do. This has been Real Money with David Holland. Thank you for listening.